She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 158, risking it all and going for it with the co-founders of YouBooker.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Happy Monday, She Did It Her Way listeners. Oh my goodness, I cannot believe Memorial Day weekend is just right around the corner. This week, I'm so excited. I'm starting my new routine, being as I don't have any sort of travels or client work on the books for the next few months. I'm really using this time to dig in and execute, plan, and do some things that I've been wanting to do with She Did It Her Way, the brand, for a really long time. So I'm just excited for the next few months and the new routine. I signed up to do a wedding package at one of the gyms nearby in Chicago with one of my really good friends as well. She's getting married 2 weeks after I am. So we're keeping each other accountable. I'm excited because my other friends let me work from her office. So I'm kind of getting in this new little routine. So I'm out of my studio apartment where I have been working, but I'm excited to actually feel as if I'm going into an office and see what the outcome is of that and see if, you know, the productivity goes up and what that does for my overall mindset. So I'll keep you guys posted. And if you guys currently used to work from your home and now you have an office, I would love to know your thoughts as well and hear what benefits that provided for you. Or maybe you realize that you didn't want to go into an office and you went back to working at home because it was easier. Either way, tell me. I would love to know. Also, if you guys are someone that has been inspired by the podcast and has helped you start your side hustle or start your business, please let me know. There is a tab at the page at shedidherwaypodcast.com where it says Leap Diaries. And there's actually a link there where you can submit your story because in the future, I want to share those with readers and people who come to the website for inspiration and so that they can learn from you as well. So I will have that up there for you guys to check that out. But today's podcast episode is with the founders, the co-founders of YouBooker, Claudia and Diana. They both have been modeling for over 20 years, and they have since developed a app-based technology that allows models to communicate with people who are in need of projects. And so after seeing that the modeling industry wasn't going to adapt the process to fast-paced technology times, Diana and Claudia made the decision to finally go for it. And then they have the help of two other co-founders, Andrea and Nicola, and they took their idea and translated it into a well-thought-out business plan and created a website. So they just launched this past February, and they were able to take an entire process that took 2 to 3 days and break it down to 10 minutes by solving this problem. So in this episode, we're going to talk about know how to streamline a tedious process with your business, learn to create a well-balanced leadership team with contrasting personalities, understand how to work with a team that is located around the world. And my favorite is gain the courage to go after your business idea along with a lot and a handful of other key business insights to starting your own business. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that coming up next. I have Claudia and Diana, who are the co-founders of YouBooker, and I'm going to turn it over to them for them to share with us what is YouBooker. And if you ladies wouldn't mind introducing yourselves one by one, that way the audience can then differentiate who's who when they're talking. That would be great.
Absolutely. So I'm going to get started. My name is Claudia Wagner. I am the co-founder of YouBooker together with Diana and two other partners. I am born in Germany. I have been modeling for 20 years and now have lived in New York for the past 10 years. Diana and I know each other for good, I would say, how many years, Diana? 20?
20, say, yeah.
20. And we both came up with this idea to create an online booking platform for models.
Okay. And Diana, how about you?
Yeah, so I'm German as well. And I have started modeling just like Claudia after our A-levels some 20 years ago. And Claudia and I, we met in Paris the first time, I believe. And yeah, I've been living between Paris and New York while I was still modeling full time. And we've just seen all these changes in the industry and the technology. And we were like, there's something not evolving in the modeling business. We can do so much for our colleagues and for the new generation who is so into technology and everything, and that we are sure that was gonna work, that there's a place for it and there's a need for it as well.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, share with us a little bit about the modeling industry, how it works, and then why is it that, like, how did you come up with uBooker and see it as an opportunity and a problem to solve, even from your own experience?
Well, there is a lot of back and forth in the process of booking a model, really. And I mean, Diana and I, we've both had pretty long careers. I mean, 20 years really being busy constantly. Obviously, the careers were evolving from more like high fashion to commercial jobs, but we've been pretty busy for the past 20 years doing this job. So obviously you start to look at things, talk to the clients, see what problems clients have. So we kind of were always very curious and involved, and we just, you know, realized that there was a lot of stuff lost in translation, kind of, you know. So when a client is looking for a model for a project, they will, you know, call an agency, say, I need a model for my project. I would like her to be brunette, 6 foot tall, this, and you know, they're giving all the statistics, all they're looking for. The agency will propose a couple of girls. The client will choose who he likes. The agent will call the girl again. Are you free? Would you like to do this job? Yes or no? So it's just totally, you know, it's very long. A couple of days can go by before, you know, finally there's a selection made. So we were like, okay, this is, it's not necessary anymore to have all this back and forth, you know. As you see, all the other industries, they kind of cut the middleman or kind of slim down the middleman, because technically uBooker, we are still a middleman in a way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We just thought we can kind of streamline this process. We can make it much easier. The client goes on our platform, gives in, you know, shows us the project, says, I need this and that. We give him a pre-selection already of the girls that we know are available on those dates. And he just can send the option request to the model. And the only thing the model has to do is accept or decline the option. So it can be done in 10 minutes. It's very straightforward. And there are no filters in the middle. Like in an agency sometimes, you know, it all depends on uBooker. If you have a good relationship with uBooker, he might propose you for the job, but, you know, he might have a bad day and, you know, favor somebody else that day, and you might not even get proposed for the job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So when you guys, because you guys launched this in 2015, is that correct?
No, actually, no, we just launched in February this year.
Okay.
We have been working on the platform. So our system has been developed since a year and a half. It's a very complicated system, and we had to translate it, kind of, because Diana and I had this idea, but then, you know, we didn't really know how to go about it, and we had help from our CEO Nicola and our CTO Andrea, who then had to translate our idea into a computer system, which is a highly complicated thing.
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up question. So from when you guys had the inception of the idea to now releasing a physical product in February, what was probably the biggest hurdle or most difficult part of taking your idea and then putting it into a technology that was suitable for what you wanted it to do?
Well, we have our great partners, as Claudia said, and Claudia and I had to learn a lot about technologies because we were a bit of technology in general, because we were not really in that field. So I guess for us to understand how a computer program can work, what it can do, was very exciting. But that was like what we needed to understand. But of course, Andrea, he's an expert, and we had to tell him, and then he translated it's just like Claudia said, but it was like to think about all the possibilities that could come up for a booking process, like everything, what could happen, what could the client want, what could the model want, how can we make everything even better and more comfortable and more efficient, to think about all these possibilities happening. That was very complex, but also very exciting. It's a great thing for me to learn. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And I think the first hurdle that one has, or a lot of people have, when you start a business, is just to gather the courage to do it. Because we had this idea to do something for, I think, 7 years, 7-8 years, that we started to say, you know, that there's something to be done here. But from the idea to the doing, it's jumping into water. And this is what takes courage, because, you know, we both have a name in the industry. You know, it's a risk to be exposed, that people, you know, laugh at you, that you look like an idiot if you fail. So to say, okay, let's do it, let's just go out there and risk it all, that's the first hurdle always.
Mm-hmm. Did either of you experience, or what did you experience in the early stages when you decided to build up the courage and say, okay, we're going to start this? And did you encounter anyone who was like, what are you guys doing? You're models, like, you're not entrepreneurs. Did you have any of that?
Not so much, because people knew that Claudia and I are pretty much entrepreneurial because we had our career going for so long. That means that we were really active in it. And then I had made my studies, and, you know, I have started them and finished them. I made studies in interior design, and I did that. And Claudia, she does her psychology studies, which are a little bit on hold now because we are so busy. But people, you know, and she just got a baby, so she has her hands full. But people know when we decide to do something, then we go for it and we do it. So when we started it, they were like, okay, here we go. I mean, yeah, you're doing it. You know, they believed in us. And sometimes like, okay, all right, okay, well, okay, now we really have to do it. Okay, now we're back.
We already committed. We got to go. We just got to burn the bridge and keep walking. Nope, we're there. Let's do it.
Yep. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
Do you have...
Yeah, so that was good.
Yeah. I mean, what would you, based on your experience so far, what would you recommend if someone said, okay, I'm thinking of starting a business, what advice do you have?
What advice? So I don't know, Diana and I, we are pretty German about things. We always think about the worst case scenario. So when we started talking about, we have our two partners are Italian. So they're the opposite. They're like, okay, like we can do it. You know, very positive, very experimental. And Diana and I, we were like, yeah, but what if, so I think we really looked at this thing from every angle. And I think the best thing to do is to think about it, take a period of time where you really think about it, explore, you know, what are your contacts, how will you go about it, visualize it, and then after that time, just go for it. If you decide to do it, just put it all in and just do it.
Mm-hmm. To me, what is really great about our project is that we have a really good team. Just like Claudia said, we're very complementary. Like, we are at times opposite, but we have the same values, we have the same idea we share, and then we, like as you said, everyone looks from different angles. But also to me personally, like, I would have never wanted to do a project like this on my own. Like, I really, and I think we all really appreciate of having each other's, because, you know, you have down days and then you talk to the other person who just has a really good day, and then that pulls you up, you know, and we can sense it. Like, everyone has a down at the moment, you know, and then you talk to your partners and and then you feel so much better. I can't imagine making such a big project on my own, because it is a difference if you, I mean, obviously you won't be able to do it all on your own because you need technicians and all sorts of different qualified people. But when you're partners, you're really much differently in it than if you're just an employee, or, I mean, if you're just, yeah, when it's your project, it's just your baby. So you're much, much more involved and attached to it. And I really love having three fantastic partners in there. I would only do it with good partners I can exchange with. I would never want to do a project on my own. But everyone is different. But for me, that works.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think what's really important also is to have fun with it. To, you know, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah, it's very important to have fun. And that's sometimes, you know, when we meet here in New York, we did a project all together here in New York, and we just laugh a lot. We have days, you know, we obviously all very serious, but we just have days where we just, you know, things get lost because, you know, they're Italian, we are German. So one is our IT guy is a real nerd, and then he will want to know something from Diana and I. It's like, okay, if I have this situation, how does it work in a traditional agency? What happens if this and this happens? And we'd be like, oh, it depends. And he'd be like, no, because you have to be, you know, it's always a one or a zero. So it's like, there's no, it depends. You have to really translate it into, you know, a yes or no. It's black and white, really. So I think we just, you know, we have fun together too, and it's very important too.
We have a lot of fun together, actually.
Yeah.
We
laugh a lot. Sounds like it. Maybe you guys need an American on there. No. Share with us about the partnership. So it's very different if you are a one-person shop versus you have a partner. I mean, how do you guys continually communicate with each other effectively, make sure people are pulling their weight? Like, what did the conversation look like before you guys maybe officially launched YouBooker and established it as an entity? Like, what were some of the tough conversations that you had?
So the way we did a lot of Skype calls. So we basically are on Skype the whole entire day. So it's or Diana and myself, or it's, you know, Nicola and Andrea, or it's me and Andrea. It's constantly, we are constantly talking with each other since a year and a half now. And we also meet up. We go to Italy a lot to meet with Andrea, and then Diana came to New York and we did this project for ABC. So we are kind of, I mean, we're spending most days together over Skype, really.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. But, you know, then again, we're on the cloud. You know, we are working on an online platform, so everybody can really be wherever. I mean, you can work from Africa. And then sometimes it's a little bit complicated with the time zones, but that's the beauty of it. You know, I just had a baby. Have a lot of
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of babies at the same time. So, but it gives me a lot of freedom. You know, I can, you know, I have my babysitter, and then I sit down, I have my, you know, hour and a half of Skype with, you know, Andrea, and then I do the rest of my job. It's the future, really. I mean, that's what Google does, Accenture. There are so many companies now that, you know, have their people work from home.
Yeah. How did you guys split up and determine which role each of you would play? Did you, like, look at your strengths, or did you innately have one role?
We thought we had roles in the beginning. You know, like, Diana and I
were
model acquisition and, you know, talking to some clients. But then once you're in there and you realize that there's so much stuff to do, you know, like talk to the press, talk to the clients. So you just have to, if you want to make it work, you have to do everything. Like, for example, I'm not a salesperson, or I thought I was not a salesperson. I do not like to, you know, talk to a client and present my project. It's something that I didn't feel so comfortable with. But you know what? You have to do it. So it's like, if you're comfortable with it or not, it's not the question. But it's also, you know, to be pushed outside of your comfort zone.
Mm.
this is where it's getting very satisfying in the end, you know, because it's uncomfortable sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. to go out there and cold call clients and, you know, do stuff that you're not used to do. But it's just very rewarding. And we all do this. I mean, I'm sure Diana is doing stuff that she never thought she'd have to do, you know.
For sure. But in general, distributing the roles was pretty easy because we all have our different domains we are strong at. I mean, obviously, Claudia and I, we couldn't do the computers, we couldn't develop the system. So that was clearly Andrea's part. Nicola is taking care of the business part. And then, sure, Claudia and I, we were responsible for all the model and client acquisition and the information of how the business works. And it just really came naturally. But then, yeah, eventually, just like Claudia said, it all melded together. Now you do everything. But no one asks a question, you know, because we all have the same aim. We just want to succeed and have it work really well, and so you don't even ask a question, you know, just do it. It's really interesting to see. Like, I think if you had thought about it before too much, then it wouldn't have made any sense anyway, because it'll just come. And the main roles were naturally distributed, so we couldn't go into each other's way, or you know, so. And then it just came. It just, you can't estimate it. I think that's what I keep hearing about those kind of project. It's like you cannot really estimate how much work it really will be, and you maybe wouldn't have started if you had known, you know. So
yeah, I mean, it's a good thing. It's pushing me to my limits sometimes, you know. I'm you know, very rigid sometimes in my way of thinking, so you know, sometimes I find myself doing stuff that I'm like, oh my god, I was not supposed to do this stuff, you know, this is not how it's supposed to work. I was supposed to do different things. So I really sometimes have to step back and say, okay, do I want to make this work? Yes. So I need to, you know, leave it all on the mat. And that's a good thing, you know, to be pushed and to evolve. It's a very good thing.
Mm-hmm. What, now, since you guys first, when you launched February, what's the big thing that you noticed or that stood out about your product that you created with YouBooker that you learned, whether it was with your customer acquisition or whatever it might be, but something that stood out to you since you guys launched?
To me personally, I realized how there are like two different worlds of working. Like, there are some people who are totally into technology and others, they completely ignores, maybe exaggerated, but they live in a total different world. I mean, there are two, there's the analog world and that still works that way. And then there's this new world, the digital world, and it works that way. And it's like a parallel world almost to me, you know, they really like look at each other's at times and they're like, who's that? And it doesn't merge very often quite yet, you know, and that's what we are trying to do. And we are this middle point where you get together. And I was surprised how parallel those worlds exist.
Are there,
and,
like,
I mean,
go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, have you noticed just with your data on the back end, certain things about, like, for example, is the younger generation of models more likely to jump on the technology versus people who are rather like more seasoned in the career, maybe a little bit older? Do you find that, or is it just kind of all over right now?
I would say it's all over, I would say, but the younger girls are a little bit easier. I mean, I think we have some women our age, obviously, because we started with friends and family, you know, like all the girls that we knew and we worked with in the 20 years, we said, jump on, you know, we're doing this exciting project. So we have a lot of girls that are, or women to be precise, that are, you know, in the early 30s, 40s, but obviously we have also a lot of younger models. But the younger generation, I would say, is a little bit easier with stuff, a little bit like, okay, let me check it. While the you know, the 30, 40 years, they're a bit like, oh, let me think about it. And then they, you know, they looked at us for a little bit and then, you know, they jumped in like, you know, 2 months later. But Definitely there is. I think what struck me most is that, you know, a lot of people really loved our idea, and a lot of models and clients, when we presented our project, were like, oh, we were waiting for something like this, or oh, we thought about doing the same. I don't know how many models have said, oh, I thought about doing the same. So a lot of people apparently thought about doing the same thing, but nobody really did it. But what I found really interesting is that everybody, or a lot of people, are really positive. But the people that were, you know, negative, the people that were kind of reluctant, I smelled a little bit of fear there. Like the people that were saying, this cannot work, you know, this will not work. And you would, you know, go into an argument with them and say, okay, why do you think this will not work? And they will come up with like arguments, and you can counter argue every single argument. You know, like somebody, I had a conversation with a booker who, you know, said, why you want to do this? This can never work, like booking models over the internet. And I said, you know, today you can do everything over the internet, really. You have your food delivered to you, you choose your food, everything is done over the internet, right? Mm-hmm. But there is a fear there, you know, there is a fear of change, because I feel this, like, no, it's not going to work, you know, and then you have everything to convince them, and then by the end of the discussion, like, well, but still I believe it's not going to work. Okay. Fine, but it's something that I saw recently from one of the founders of Airbnb, who said, you know, that all these many times where people told us that it can't be done, mm-hmm. and it's kind of even pushing you. For me, I believe so strongly that this can be done. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm doing it already, so that can be done successfully. That every time I hear this can't be done, it's like almost giving me the motivation to work even harder.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
It was striking to me.
I think that's an extremely good point too, because especially in business and entrepreneurship, when you put yourself out there, there's that massive amount of potential for rejection, and people will tell you, you can't do things, or that's silly, or what are you thinking? And you just have to continue moving forward and believe in the idea that you have and know that it's working too. So
absolutely. And I mean, I have been there, because I have done this massive mistake many, many years ago, like about 15 years ago, a person that I knew asked me for friends and family. They were doing a project in fragrance, and he asked me for, you know, he asked me if I wanted to participate in the friends and family round. And I told him, I think this is such a stupid idea. It's such a stupid idea. This can never work. And I was really passionate about it. And now today I'm like, what the heck was I thinking? So this person sold to Estee Lauder 2 years ago for $100 million.
Oh my gosh.
I could be really rich right now, but I chose an asshole and say, oh, that's a stupid idea. So I think, in general, it's never a good idea when people want to do something to, you know, to discourage them. I think it's always, if you don't agree, it's always good to maybe not say anything.
Yeah, the opinion piece.
Get away with it and be discouraging, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but it's human, I guess.
Yeah. What was the single most important piece of advice that you each received? That you've received in your lifetime? What's the one single piece of advice?
To me, it's really like when people say, just believe, when you feel it in your stomach, just go with your guts. It's always worked for me. It's just always worked for me. You know, I couldn't oversee, or I still can't really oversee the dimension of our project. It's growing literally every day. It's getting more and more complex. You're doing more and more complex bookings and jobs and talking to clients where you can see this and this possible collaboration in future with them. And I wasn't able to see that before, obviously, because you only can when you're in there, and then this goes bigger, bigger, bigger. But deep inside, I knew this is going to be a project that's going to work, and I believe in it 100%, and it is working. I mean, we are booking, it's working, you know, so no one needs to tell us anymore it's not going to work, because it actually is, you know.
Yeah,
we're just at the beginning, you know?
I love how you say, and, like, listen to your gut too.
Yeah, I really think that really works for me. I'm not a rational person, I'm very emotional, but that many times I've read that especially women are like this, mm-hmm. and that's usually just the same or even better than if you analyze everything. You get the same results with it. So I was like, okay, well, analyzing a little is always important, of course, you know, but my stomach feeling is just the most important. Yeah. To me, and it's worked. It works with when I meet people, like I have feelings right away, and it usually, like most of the times, of course not every time, but most of the times, it's been right. You know, I mean, I've been trying to convince myself about something, then it wasn't necessarily any better after. You know, it wasn't necessarily the right decision. So that's a good thing, and I trust this now entirely. Because I know I can do that, and okay, if it goes wrong, it goes wrong, but it could have gone wrong anyway, and it's something I just feel now, and I totally accept it, and I go with it, and I don't think anymore that's silly. It's just because you feel something, or like no, actually you feel something because you do, because inside you know. So many times afterwards, only I realized that I had known already, but I couldn't name it, or I couldn't see this really clearly. You know, like a situation comes up and I'm like, I knew that I can solve this problem with this and this and this and this. I just didn't know this situation concretely would exist when I started something.
Yeah.
So I really think go with your guts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely very important. For me, I would say the best piece of advice I got from, believe it or not, my mother-in-law. And she's, you know, she always says one step at a time, which for me is very important because I tend to get overwhelmed, you know, mm-hmm. especially with a project like this. When sometimes you look at this and you say, oh my God, what did I get myself into? Can we really do this? This is so much. It seems like a mountain in front of you and you're just at the beginning. So it's very important to segment things, to say, okay, you know, today I'm just going to look at this one day and I'm going to give my best, and then tomorrow is tomorrow. Because if you anticipate everything, it's very easy to get overwhelmed. And this is something that has worked really well for me. It's something that is very, it's a very simple thing, but it works with a lot of things in life. When you feel like you get overwhelmed or you can't do it, just one thing at a time, you know, start with one project, start with 1 hour in something, you know. I had the same when I was studying, I was looking at all this material, it's like, oh my God, but saying, okay, I have 1 hour, 60 minutes. And in this 60 minutes, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to do this and that stuff that I don't want to do. And I don't allow myself to get up and I'm going to do it. And after that, I do something else. But to segment things is a great strategy to get things done in the end.
Yeah. And I've been in the same, I'll like catch myself going into the same thought process of, I have all this stuff I got to get done. How am I going to get it done today? And then when you actually go through all the things that you need to get done and assign, oh, like time stamp it and say, how long is it going to take me to get done? Then you realize like what you're saying is you can get it done in an hour, but we think it's this big thing that we have to accomplish, and then that overwhelmingness shuts us down versus empowering us to move forward and get it done.
Exactly. And yeah. I always notice that very, you know, people that I admire or people that are very successful people, when I look at them, I was always wondering, okay, these people, how many things they get done during a day? Okay, they are like professionals, they're mothers, they're wives, they're fit. They have a life, they go to the theater, and I look at them and I say, how the heck do they do all this? You know, I feel like, you know, at noon I'm still in my pajamas when I had the baby, and I'm like, ugh, you know, and these people, they do all this. So there is, you know, 24 hours to do stuff or to sleep or to get everything done. They do it. So it's just a decision. It's about being organized and stick to the plan, really. You know, not being like, so it's a discipline thing, I think. And especially for myself, and I don't know if this is the same for Deanna, but as a model, it's the schedule is very different. So when we are booked, we have a, you know, very precise schedule. We have to be in the studio at, I don't know, 8 a.m. and then we work, they tell us what to do. So, you know, it's very structured. But when you have, you know, times where you don't work and you don't have castings, you have a lot of free time, you know, mm-hmm. and then you get used to not doing anything and hanging out and maybe reading a book or not, or maybe going to the gym or not. So from that to going to, okay, now I have so many things in my day, it's challenging.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with that personally right now where I'll be traveling for clients that I, for freelance consulting, and I'll be traveling. And so maybe 2 weeks I'm gone, and then I'll spend a week at home, and that's when I'll do all the stuff, podcast interviews and whatnot. But the structure isn't there as much as when I'm working with a client. You show up at this time. These are the things that you do. You know exactly what you need to do. This is when you get done. So I will be more consistent at meditation and working out because I know that that's the only amount of time that I have to get it done versus being at home in Chicago. It's still like trying to figure out that energy flow in the transition between those two, the like environments, if you will. So yeah, it's something definitely still like a work in progress. Yeah.
And it will always be. That's a good realization, is that it's always work in progress. You're never there.
Yeah.
Because people always think that one day you'll get there, you know? I always thought, okay, one day I'm going to be all organized and I'm going to be there. But it's always a problem-solving thing. There's going to be something else every day, and you just have to be in the state of mind that you can deal with it, and that, you know, it's life. Life is, you know, you can't plan everything, and you will always have challenges, and you will always have, you know, things in front of you that you can't calculate. So,
mm-hmm. What sort of – I have a few last questions for you guys. Mm-hmm. What sort of tools, maybe organizational tools, technology tools that you guys use to help like manage your day-to-day life, whether it's in business or in personal life?
Well, already just for you, Booker, we have tools where we keep, of course, track of our clients and models. So that helps me. Like every morning, I just look at them and see what happened on the website. So already I know what I need to do. You know, maybe there's a client who sends a question, or we like went on several times. So maybe he got stuck or something. So you want to reach out to them. You know, so there's already a little bit of a list for me, just because of the website itself, where I know where to start my day and what is most important, and. And then other than my Google Calendar, I write down all my appointments and reminders. That really helps me a lot. That also I have synchronized with my husband because he travels a lot as well. I mean, now I'm not traveling that much anymore, but now he does travel. And just, you know, just to know where he'll be next week and if I can have dinner with friends or if we can have dinner with friends. Just this a really good calendar where you can put a lot of information in and share with people. That helps me a lot, and that pops up in the morning, and then I know already so much what to do. And that also gives me a nice draft to get it started in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that's good, because once you sit down and then you do this, and then hopefully you take the tasks that you don't like so much to do next, so they're out of your way, so you're free for the rest of the day. That helps me. That gets me going in the morning.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, I'm less tech savvy. I have a post-it, and I know, like, the day before, I know tomorrow I'm gonna have to do point one, point two, point three, and then once I've done every point, I'll put a little cross, like, done, which is very satisfying.
It when you is, do. Isn't it? It's like so therapeutic.
It is because
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's nice, and so I have it in front of my desk. I have this, you know, yellow post-it with my list, and I just go through the list. It's very old-fashioned, but it works best for me.
Mm-hmm. No, I still have those ones too. I do, and it's fantastic when you can take one and crumble it together and put it in the garbage.
Yes,
it's very good. Yeah.
It's like an energy. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's just
action. But absolutely.
Yes, exactly.
What was that?
No, I just hit yes, exactly. It's an energy action. It's like, yeah, done, succeeded.
Yeah, like it is going in the garbage. And I'm totally with you too. I mean, it's, I think sometimes in a digital world, we feel pressure that we have to use all these tools and apps because everyone else does. But it's ultimately figuring out what is the best fit for you in order for like you to move things forward and accomplish. And if that's a post-it note or that's a piece of paper and you just get to cross X's out all day and that like helps you fuel the momentum, then you got to do it. Okay. So two last questions. This question, what is the best $100 you've ever spent? And it could be something that you bought for the business or maybe you bought for personal, but like, what is the best $100 you've ever spent?
Best $100. It was not $100. It was way less. Is that okay too?
Oh yeah. Anything under $100. Let's do that.
It's a book. For me, it's a book. I have this book that I read all the time. It's called You're Badass by Jen Shapiro. I would highly recommend it. I mean, I don't know if you already read it, but
I have not, but I've heard of
that. You said earlier about the motivation, getting things done and, you know, getting over your internal bullshit and just do things and be a great person. This is the money spent really well, because when I have a moment of doubt or I don't feel so good, I just take this book. It's not something that you read once. I just take a chapter and read it again and again and again as a kind of reminder. So this for me is best money ever spent, apart from shoes, but I spent more with them.
They're usually more than $100.
Yeah. You could maybe get a heel.
Yeah, exactly. Can get a heel. I guess like one thing I don't do enough, but every time I do it, I'm like, oh, why did I not do it before? It's like a massage, which is basically like around $100. But it frees your mind. It frees your body. You know, when you're in front of the computer all day, then you start taking this bad postures and it hurts your shoulders and everything. And your mind goes crazy. And then when you go to a massage and you just go out and you're light and you just go to sleep and everything is so good and you feel fantastic.
Oh,
I'm like, why don't I do that often?
Well, and think of the energy flow then too, of moving the muscles and letting the blood, like, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Great. Yeah, definitely. No, that's definitely a very good $100 spend, and I've never regretted those.
Yeah. Well, okay. So then the last question was, what's your favorite book? And I know, Claudia, you mentioned you are a badass, but feel free to provide another one if you want, but a book that has helped you in your life.
That's the one for me. I mean, I've been through a lot of self-help books because I sometimes need a little kick in the butt. But that's the one for me. I think it's very modern. It's, you know, it's written by a woman who knows kind of the struggles that women go through in their everyday life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just think this is really spot on for me.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Deanna, what about you?
For me, it was probably the Tibetan book of life and death, because it's called the Tibetan book of living and dying. And at one point in my life, I've been in a very bad situation, someone gave this book to me, said, read it, it'll help you, and it was amazing. But it's very specific. It's very, I mean, you don't just read it like this. It's like when you're in a situation like this, then you probably read it and it will help you. And it's fantastic, but it's not something you just keep on your bedside just to read like for night lecture. It's a bit heavy, but it's been a huge help in a very difficult situation in my life. And that's really, I really can recommend that, at least to have it at your bookshelf. So in case you need it, it's there. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I cannot believe that was the last question. Thank you both so much for coming on the show. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So did I.
Yeah, this has been absolute amazing.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out shedidithirwaypodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.